A lot of God's children want Jesus as Savior, but don't want Him messing with them as Lord.
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord wants authority over everything we do and say.
We've got to take a subservient position to His rule, and He must be master of your life and specifically of your lips.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans will tell us how easily we can wind up speaking outside God's will, even while using God's name, as he talks about letting Jesus be the Lord of our lips. Let's join him.
I don't care who you are or what ship you're steering. The lighthouse is not going to adjust to you. No matter how powerful you are, no matter what education you have, what successes you've made, if you are in conflict with the lighthouse is going to win every time. A lot of us like to dictate to God where we want them to be, forgetting He's the lighthouse. And we wind up not recognizing that God wants to be Lord of your lips and mine. Today, I want to show you why it is critical that God and Jesus Christ be Lord of your lips and what it means for Him to be Lord of your lips and why you might be confused about whether He's Lord of your lips. Let me call your attention to Matthew chapter 16, three specific verses, verses 21 to 22. Verse 21 says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord. This shall not happen to you.' And he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's.'" Notice that Peter is using language we can appreciate. Peter says God and Lord in the same sentence. You can't go wrong if you're going to say God and Lord. That means you're thinking biblically, spiritually, theologically. And yet when he finishes talking, Jesus says, "Get behind me, you devil." So evidently, you can use the word God, use the word Lord, and be talking from the devil. Like Jesus said, not everybody who says Lord, Lord. Now, what makes this very interesting is a few verses earlier, Peter was hitting the bullseye. Verse 15, Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Wait a minute, he has God in verse 15 and 16. He has God in verse 22. Yet when he uses God early, he gets a blessing. And when he uses God later, he says you ain't nothing but the devil. So you can use God and God not be happy with you using his name. You can use God and God is happy with you using his name. The word Lord means master. To declare Jesus is Lord means that he's the one in control making the final call and calling the shots of your life and of your lips. To say Lord means that you are the one who is controlling this discussion, controlling my language, and controlling my actions, because you're the master. Let me flip it. To call Jesus Lord is to call yourself a slave. Lord has the idea of master on his side and slave on your side. Let me put it another way. If you're not his slave, he's not your master. And if he is your master, you're his slave. That explains why when the Apostle Paul writes some of his letters, he opens it up with, like Romans 1:1, I, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Use the word bondservant. That means slave in shackles. I'm your slave. A lot of God's children want Jesus as Savior, but don't want him messing with them as Lord. They're not about to become nobody's slave, including his. The idea of lordship is the idea of Jesus being your master. He is not your personal assistant. You see, for many people, Jesus is a personal assistant. He's there to help me out. He's my co-pilot. Why are you even in a car with you at the wheel if Jesus is there too? Jesus is not interested in assisting you. He wants to own you. He wants to own you, which means you've got to take, I've got to take, we've got to take a subservient position to his rule, and he must be master of your life and then specifically of your lips, of what you say, your speech. What's interesting about this scenario is that Peter doesn't mean any harm. He hears Jesus say, I'm on my way to the cross to suffer and die. And he says, God forbid it, Lord. What you mean you're going to suffer and die? No. Jesus responds and says, stay with me here. Get behind me, devil. Okay, so watch this. You become a devil even when you're trying to help God out. When you're trying to help him out outside of his will. He said, Peter, I just explained to you this is something I must do. I just told you that. I mean, and the benediction hadn't even been given. And you're using my name against me, calling me Lord and telling me I'm wrong at the same time. How can you call me Lord and tell me I'm wrong? I'll tell you how you can call me Lord and tell him I'm wrong, because you just got filled with Satan. So wait a minute. Even when you're trying to help God out, you're the devil. If it doesn't agree with what God wants. Satan got Peter to think and speak outside of God's will while using God's name. And we do that all the time. Put God's name on stuff God has nothing to do with, because we don't like what God said. Peter didn't like what God said, and because he didn't like what God said, he rejected what God said while using God's name, and he says, that's not just you talking, Peter, that's the devil using you. Because the devil will use you to talk and camouflage how bad it is by getting God's name injected into the conversation. He unknowingly aligned himself with Satan's perspective by joining in on a view that was outside of the will of God. Whenever your discussion disagrees with what God says, it's not just you talking, it's the devil using you to have his way. God says, I can't bless that. I can't bless that because you insist on using your mind and your mouth in your power. So go ahead and let's see where the devil leads you. It's like the rich guy in Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. Rich guy, he's retirement age. He looks at what has been accomplished. He says, okay, here's my plan. This is my plan. So he's talking. He's talking out his mouth. This is my plan. I'm going to build bigger bonds, build my bonds, store all my stuff, then I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Okay? Time to party hardy. It's the good times, because I can retire now with ease. Only problem is, the story says that God showed up and said, "You fool." Exact language. "You fool. Tonight your soul is required of you. Now, who will your stuff belong to? You fool." He says, I'm not just talking about that man, because he comes in verse 21, he says, "And so is every man who seeks to be rich in this world and not rich toward God." He says, that man, that woman is a fool. God wants your conversation to reflect his lordship, his rulership. He wants to be Lord, and that means master. The recruit went to his senior officer and said, "Listen, there's a wedding on Saturday. Can I go to the wedding?" He said, "Yeah, you can go to the wedding. Just be back by 7. He said, "Well, I don't think you understand. I know you want me to be back by 7, but I'm in the wedding." See, the officer said, "I don't think you understand. You're in the Navy." Okay. I know we go to God and tell him, "This is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we want." And God has said, no, you have to understand, this is what I want. This is what I want. And I'm the master. I call the shots. And I even want to be Lord over your lips.
When Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll explain why the way many of us think of the connection between what we say and how we live is backwards. Right now, though, he's here with this thought for us.
The greatest need in our world today is for Jesus Christ, the living Savior who died on the cross, who's risen and sits on the right hand of the Father. The more people who meet Jesus, the more lives will be transformed. And that's the message of the Urban Alternative. That's the essence of my ministry. Would you become a partner with us at the Urban Alternative so that we can take the good news of Jesus everywhere we can, through every means we can, for the transformation of lives?
Without the faithful support of listeners just like you, there'd be no way we could keep Tony's teaching on this station. So as our way of saying thanks to those who can come alongside us right now with any contribution, no matter the amount, we'd like to send you a copy of his follow-up book for our current series, Watch Your Mouth. It talks about the power of what we say to either do good or do damage, focusing on ways to develop the self-control we need to tame our tongues. Watch Your Mouth will teach you to choose words that are instruments of healing, not weapons of war. So drop by TonyEvans.org today, make a donation of any size before this special offer runs out on Friday, and we'll send you a copy of Watch Your Mouth, along with the companion study guide and resource DVD to help you get the most out of every lesson. Again, visit TonyEvans.org today for the details, or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are on hand day and night, 7 days a week to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, don't go away. Dr. Evans will be right back.
Journey to a time of kings and prophets. Witness epic battles and miraculous events. Live the greatest adventures ever told, straight from the pages of the Bible. The Tony Evans Training Center provides more than just world-class training in a learn-at-your-own-pace environment. It strives to make the books of the Bible come alive. We'll take you deep into God's Word so that you can experience it in a life-changing way. Begin your journey today at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
God wants you to surrender your tongue. Why? Because we already saw in James, if he gets a hold of the tongue, he can control the rest of you. If I can steer your speech, I can steer your life. So guess what? Talk about where you should go, and he'll steer your life to where it ought to go. Let me control what you say, align what you say to what I once said, because it agrees with me, and just don't sprinkle my name over it. It's got to be within my will. Then you will actually be speaking life, freeing me up to enter and involve myself in your life, because I'm not going to hang out with you when you're hanging out with the devil. Look at Matthew 10. I do want you to turn here. God just doesn't want you to believe it, think it. He wants you to say it. Make this part of your, the way you talk. He says in verse 27, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftop." Verse 32, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Before men. He's talking about what you're doing in public. It involves speech. It means to say the same thing, to say what God is saying, to be on the same page with him. Says, if you're not willing to do that outside of church, if you're not willing to do that outside of church, then don't come asking me for stuff. You come saying, bless me, but I ain't going to bring you up. Help me, but I can't reference you. Support me, but don't get upset when I can't allow your perspective to enter into the conversation. God does not want to be hidden in your conversation. I want you to confess me. That is to say the same thing. To agree with me. Yes, it should be appropriate. Yes, it should be in love. You are to speak the truth in love, but you are to speak the truth. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, the Tower of Babel. It says the whole world spoke with one tongue, one lip. That means one confession. And what were they saying? They said, let us build a city. And then let us build a tower to God in the city that will reach heaven. Let us. They were making plans apart from God. And then the text says, and God came down to see what the sons of men were up to. They were building this tower and they had all their plans. The architect had come in and drawn the plans and they had all got all their political meetings going on and they were working everything out. And God says, we will confuse their language so that they're going to talk, they're just not going to communicate. So they were talking, but they couldn't communicate, and he stopped the building program. And he did it all with speech. It was called the Tower of Babel. Because there's a whole lot of talking and not a lot of understanding. And all you got to do is listen to a bunch of political candidates. Everybody's got a thought. Everybody's got a plan. Everybody talking. And stuff's still getting worse. Because they're talking often independently of God. And when you want to build a country independently of God, you're going to have chaos. When you want to build a life independently of God, you're going to have chaos. You're talking. You're not communicating. What's the main thing couples say? We can't communicate. We can't communicate. We can talk. But then Satan gets a hold of the conversation because God is not really a part of it. That's why Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The next verse says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, you get saved. But with the mouth confession, you find deliverance, salvation. It means deliverance. Deliverance comes with the mouth confession. Salvation comes with the believing in the heart. But he says deliverance comes with the mouth confession. Confession is agreeing. It's saying the same thing. It is declaring. Because see, if the enemy can get you to not bring God part of the equation, then he can control the environment. He can control the environment. He can run the show. So, yes. Yes, the Lord wants to be Lord of your lips. He wants your mind to tell your mouth to say what he thinks about a matter. Even if your soul goes into a revulsion, even though your soul is all shook up. You mean I really got to say that? Yeah, because it's the Lord's word. Yeah, he really wants you to say that if it agrees with him. Because now he's comfortable in your environment. Now some will be squeamish about this because you're not used to bringing God's perspective in the conversation. You used to come into church, but you ain't used to taking church to your world. You're not used to taking God's perspective to your world. You're just used to coming and getting it in this world where it's safe.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with an incredibly touching story for those of us who feel uneasy about taking God's perspective to the world.
In the meantime, if you'd like to hear the full-length version of today's lesson, which includes bonus material we couldn't fit into the broadcast, you can get it along with 9 others in our current teaching series, Watch Your Mouth. It's loaded with plenty of practical advice about keeping your tongue from causing trouble, and you can find out all about it by visiting us online at tonyevans.org. When you do, don't forget to check out that book I mentioned earlier, also called Watch Your Mouth. It builds on what we're learning in our current study, and if you contact us in the next few days, it's yours with our thanks when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount. Don't forget, it not only includes the book, but the study guide and resource DVD that go along with it. Details are waiting for you right now at tonyevans.org. Or you're always welcome to call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where staff members are standing by 24/7 to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans says whether they realize it or not, people who talk others down are just trying to talk themselves up. But tomorrow, he'll explain why that's the opposite of what happens, as he tells us how to recognize symptoms of unholy speech. Right now, though, he's back with a very powerful story to finish up our time together today.
A little girl, young lady actually, was very ashamed of her mother. She'd never bring her mother up, never introduce her mother to any of her friends, never take her mother to any of the school functions. Very ashamed of her mother. That's because her mother had a terrible scar on the whole one half of her face. It was an ugly scar. Ugly. So she never wanted to go out in public with her mother because she didn't like the way it looked and people were going to ask questions and all that. So one day the mother said, "Daughter, I know you never bring your friends here. You never invite me anywhere with you. You always go out by yourself. You don't even invite me to the school functions. Why don't you invite me?" She said, "Mama, I love you, Mama, but it's that scar. That scar is so ugly. And I know I shouldn't be this way, but I'm ashamed." With tears coming down the mother's eyes, she set the daughter down and she said, "Honey, let me tell you about the scar. You were a baby. And I was out hanging out clothes on the clothesline. And a spark from the fireplace jumped out of the fireplace and onto the floor. And it caught a fire. I smelled the smoke and looked back, and the house was on fire. And my baby was in one of the rooms. I rushed back in there, girl, and I came and I picked you up to get you out of the house. But one of the beams broke that was on fire and came down and slammed me on my face as I threw you through the door. And so my face roasted because I was saving my baby. So when you see this ugly scar, it was a scar that delivered you from a certain death. When you get to heaven, in your perfect, glorified, new body, there will only be one scarred person up there. Because Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, retained his scars. You will see someone with holes in his hands, holes in his feet, and a hole in his side. And when you run across him at the corner of Gold Street and Silver Boulevard, it will be a reminder 100 quadzillion years from now that this scar is only there because he was saving you. This scar is only there because he was delivering you. It may not look pretty, but you're going to be glad it's there. Because it's there, you're there. So don't tell me you're ashamed to speak about your identity with Jesus Christ. Because by his stripes, you and I are healed.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.